Jenkins. I am performing at the Birdland Theater October 25th, 26th, 27th with Louis Rosen. We have a new CD, Phenomenal Woman, the Maya Angelou Songs. And I am talking with Rabbi Saul Solomon on Days Gone By. Oy vey.
Oh, shalom, my friends. This is your old pal, your old buddy, Rabbi Saul Solomon, founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And as you know, I tend to operate at maximum capacity. But today, I am at maximum capacity because with us in the neighborhood is an actress and a singer. Her name is Capathia Jenkins. She has been on Broadway. You saw her in the Civil War, the Frank Wildhorn show. She was in The Look of Love, singing Burt Bacharach and Hal David songs. She was also in the very acclaimed Caroline or Change. She was in Newsies as well. She's a Drama Desk nominee for an off-Broadway show that she did. Ben Brantley, chief critic or co-chief critic of the New York Times, called her a Dea Ex Machina. She will be appearing with the Pittsburgh Symphony and Seattle Symphony later this fall. But this coming week, you in New York, you lucky people, can go see her at Birdland with Louis Rosen. They're doing songs from their new album called Phenomenal Woman, the Maya Angelou songs. She is a phenomenal woman indeed, and she's with us on the telephone. Welcome, Capathia Jenkins. Shalom.
Hello, how are you, Rabbi Saul?
Oh, please, if you saw the condition of my prostate, you wouldn't ask. But how are you? That's more important.
I am doing great, thank you. Happy to be here with you.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. So, first of all, Mazel Tov on the new album that you are just releasing this month. It's all about someone that we wouldn't think of in musical terms, just more poetic terms, Maya Angelou. So tell us about Phenomenal Woman.
Yes, I'm very, very excited. We're releasing this new record on October 26th, and it is the poetry of Maya set to music beautifully by Louis Rosen. So it's some of her most famous poems, Phenomenal Woman being one of them. Caged Bird is on there. When I Think About Myself is on there. I mean, it really is an exciting project.
Well, what made... Was it his idea? Was it your idea? Who got the spark of, like, you know, there's a record in this stuff?
Well, I have to admit it was Louis Rosen's idea. He said he had, actually, before he met me, he had been thinking about it for over a decade, setting her music. And then he met me and found a muse.
Well.
But this is actually a third album of a trilogy. He also set the poetry of Langston Hughes and Nikki Giovanni. So this sort of completes our trilogy of the Black Moon. So it's exciting.
It's exciting. I wish your telephone was better. What are you talking through, a tin can in the Lincoln Tunnel? What kind of telephone are you on over there?
I'm on a smartphone, an Apple iPhone.
Really? Well, it's not that smart, and that Apple is starting to rot a little bit. So please be very clear and careful with your verbiage, because we want to hear every single word, as we do when you sing. Now, you were talking about this Louis Rosen guy, that you make it sound like you just met, but you've been doing tons of projects together, no?
Yes, we have. We've been working together almost 15 years now. The first thing we met at the studio, he needed a girl to sing on his Langston Hughes project.
Oh.
And so at that studio recording session, he just said to me casually, you know, I think I'd like to write for you, you know. And I thought, oh, I'm flattered. That's great. People say that all the time. You never hear from them again. And then a few weeks later, he called and said, I started sketching this stuff. Why don't you come over and take a listen? And it was actually Phenomenal Woman. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited because Maya is my favorite poet. So it was like this perfect marriage. It's just been great. So we've worked on a few different albums, a few different recordings, and this is finally coming to fruition because now we have the rights to record. So,
exciting. So, yeah. Sorry? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there you are.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you not hear me?
I lost you for a moment. The apple lost its core for a moment, but you're back.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, but I was just going to ask this. So that's a fascinating thing. So the first project you were going to do 15 years ago was Maya Angelou, and then all the other albums and things that you've done were in between these, getting to this.
That's right.
Oh, mazel tov. This is... I know that sounds silly, but it's wonderful that this project has blossomed into something bigger than both of you could have thought in terms of a working friendship together. Now, at first, I didn't know. I had to do some research on you. Now, you are colleagues, and you are married, but you're not married to each other.
That is correct.
Ah, just checking. And another very important question that I must know. Louis Rosen, Jewish?
Yes!
Die, ho, hooray. But you are not, right?
That's right.
Ah.
I am not Jewish.
Are you a religious person? Because I am a rabbi. I have to ask these questions. What do you believe? Or do you go to church or anything like that?
I am Christian. That's how I grew up, in the Baptist church in Brooklyn, New York. And so, yes, I am Christian and spiritual and all that. I do not go to church.
But you have a certain sense of spirituality. And more importantly, you're from Brooklyn. Tell us some memories of Brooklyn when you were growing up.
Oh, gosh. I loved growing up in Brooklyn. And I actually still live in Brooklyn. But, you know, my fondest days are, you know, a little girl playing double dutch outside, jumping rope and playing games, playing tag with my friends. I loved growing up in Brooklyn. I loved it, and I still love Brooklyn very, very much.
But now, do you live in Manhattan, or are you coastal or something like that? What do you do? Because you'd have to travel a lot.
I travel a ton, but I still live in Brooklyn. I live in Ditmas Park.
Ditmas Park! Mit Mazel. So, has Brooklyn changed for the better or the worse or both since, you know, you grew up there?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag. It certainly has changed quite a bit. There's certain neighborhoods that, you know, you sort of wouldn't go in after dark, and those are all sort of gentrified and built up and all that, and that's all great. But I also think that it's, you know, like everywhere else in the city, it's priced itself out, and people have had to move away, and so it's sort of a mixed bag, you know?
Absolutely makes a lot of sense. So, let's roll it back. Talking about growing up and being in Brooklyn, Little Carpathia. First, I love your name. Where did that name... Is there a derivation for Carpathia?
You know, I'll tell you what. When I was... when my mom was pregnant with me, my auntie met a little girl with that name, and they decided to name me that. And then, as I was growing up, people would say, what does it mean? So the closest thing I could find was Carpathia, that has the R in there. So there are the Carpathian Mountains.
Right.
There's the ship that picked up the survivors from the Titanic, was the Carpathia. I think it's just a name that my mom and my auntie found for me. And, you know, people always say to me, is it a made-up name? Is it a showbiz name? And it's not. It's my God-given name.
No, it's a lovely name. And speaking of God, have you ever been to a Seder?
I have not.
You have never? Oh, my God. Well, Louis Rosen should take you to one. But at the Seder on Passover, one of the things that they do is they dip lettuce or some green leaves into salt water, and that's called karpas. I'm wondering, just wondering, maybe it was a derivation of Carpathia. Probably not.
Maybe. I did hear that Carpathia was the Greek goddess of water, too. I did hear that.
Oh, wow. That's very, very cool. And what's also cool is, at what point did you open your mouth and beautiful sound came out when you sang?
Well, listen, I've been singing, oh gosh, about as long as I could talk. So, you know, I was with this little girl with a hairbrush in the bathroom singing. And so my mom would say, you know, shut up all that noise and go to bed. But I think around third grade, that's when my music teacher said to my mom, I think this little girl really has some talent. You should nurture it. And so My mom did. So I began studying how to sing, classically trained, and all the while still at church, singing in the choir in the Baptist church. I must have been about 8 or 9 when I, you know, started to get solos in the school chorus, things like that.
Yeah.
And I just started to dream from that time, just dreaming that I could sing, you know, on a world stage, be on Broadway, do all of those things, yeah.
Well, you mentioned in another interview that there were things that you learned from the rigor of even being in a children's choir or a high school choir that you still keep in mind today when you travel and sing. What are a couple of those specific actual things that you learned that you still keep in mind as a performer now?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things is that I work very, very hard. I do my homework. I make sure all my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. I know all my lyrics, all my melodies, everything, so that when I step on stage, I'm not thinking about any of that. And that's something I learned very early on. We had to make sure our music was done before we could have sort of playtime, you know. Another thing is, you know, I'm usually very quiet before I go out to sing. After I've warmed up and done my sound check and all of that, I'm pretty quiet until I hit the stage. That was something I learned working with John Motley, with the Oil City High School Chorus, and then also Walter Turnbull at the Girls Choir of Harlem. You know, we had to be quiet, and sometimes when we have a bus ride, we couldn't necessarily fall asleep and let your voice drop, but we had to, you know, be quiet before we hit the stage. So those are still things that I do, and I drink a lot of water. I just drink a lot of water and just, you know, take care of my instrument. I'm still this little girl in training, you know, when it comes to working. It's a very serious thing.
Now, speaking of working, we talked about some of the Broadway shows you were in. The first one was by our friend of the neighborhood, Frank Wildhorn. He has been on this program. So any memories of making your Broadway debut in the Civil War?
Absolutely. Very, very vivid memories.
Ooh.
I don't think you ever forget your debut. But I remember, you know, going in for my audition, for my final callback. And every girl that went in before me was sort of belting the song out. And I was like, oh, my gosh, should I belt it? Because I thought I would just, you know, kind of lead with the melody and the lyric. And so I got in that room, and everybody was there, Frank Wildhorn and Jerry Jackson, just everybody. And I just took a breath, and I was like, I'm going to trust my instincts. And I went for it. And I remember Frank Wildhorn saying to me right afterwards, that was delicious.
Oh, my goodness.
And
delicious.
I, you know, I reminded him of that recently. He said, oh, my gosh. I said, yes, that's what you said. And I have been trusting my instincts ever since. So, I mean, I learned a lot working with him. His melodies are so beautiful. And really, like, these kind of melodies that are just kind of haunting. And they weave together so beautifully. He's one of my favorite composers of all time.
Now,
love Frank Wildhorn.
Well, now speaking of composers, another Broadway show that you did was a review of Bacharach David's songs called The Look of Love. So do you have any great memories or what songs you did in that show and preparing for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love all of that music for Bacharach and Hal David. But one of my memories is very early on in that process, you know, Burt Bacharach and Hal David, they were around. And I remember one day, Burt, you know, he sat down at the piano and wanted to give us the groove and the pocket of Walk On By. And that was one of my songs. And so he's playing, and I'm standing there, you know, like this little girl from Brooklyn. You know, I'm singing, and Burt Bacharach is on piano. It's like I'm out of my body. You know what I mean? But
oh yeah,
I loved it. That was an experience that I'll never forget.
Have you had others like that where you met iconographic people and either sang with them or for them or just met them backstage?
Yes, I have, you know, I've been doing this for a while, so I've met some great people. But I will tell you, one of the experience I had working with Martin Short was absolutely amazing. Amazing. I had always admired him and loved him, and then to be in a room working with him was the most extraordinary thing, because he was so sort of just kind of down to earth and really accessible and really, really funny. Just really, really funny. But really generous. When I worked with him, he gave me the 11 o'clock number of the show. And I just love working with him. And to this day, you know, if he's in town and we're all together, I love that cast. I love Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman. And if we're all together, you know, we get together for dinners and things like that. And it's just fun. It's just fun. But he is a real star. And just, you know, I learned so much from him of how to be graceful and how to navigate any kind of celebrity in a room and walk in and just sort of disarm everyone and you're just a normal person. I just admire him so much.
Oh, it's so lovely to hear that, because our producer of this program saw the Martin Short show, Fame Becomes Me, and had a wonderful time. He wished it had lasted longer and run more, but it was a very, very fun show. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very fun.
But the funny story that you tell, you did an interview with the San Francisco Classical Voice, which I've never heard of until preparation for this, but it's rather interesting that there is this cliche where in a modern musical, they'll get somewhere in the middle of the second act, a black woman will come out and do a gospel-ish number. Not real gospel, not Mahalia Jackson, but they'll write a number for her, it'll be very rousing, and of course it's going to be a black woman doing it. And you're like, you know, I've had enough of this. And just when you thought of that, what happened?
Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman called me and said, you know, we're writing this show with Martin Short, and we wrote this for you. We know you had a sense of humor. You know, we got to send you the demo. Let us know what you think. And I'll tell you, as soon as it got to that line, you know, if you want to hit Burn What Sondheim Doesn't Know and Let a Big Black Lady Stop the Show, I was like, I'm in, because it was doing the thing I was complaining about. You know, was talking about that while doing that very thing. So it just, I was like, I have to do this. I have to do this. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the deal. Now, a lot of the shows that we've been talking about, with all the, a lot of people liked them. They got some good reviews, some not so good reviews, but they were not hits. Did you feel like, because we're going to get to a couple of the hits that you've been in, like when The Look of Love opened, that got no love from the critics. How did you go out there night after opening and realize, oh, boy, people are not going to be expecting much because the critics slammed us?
You know, listen, I think it's one of the great superpowers that we have, you know, people in the theater. You know, it's like you really have to compartmentalize, and you have to go out there, you know, like it's the first time every time, because the people in the audience, they don't know, you know what I mean? So you just have to, it really is a superpower, I think, because you can get no love in the papers, you can get no love in the community, you know, you have to do the show every night. It is your job, you know, and you can't go out there. Certainly you don't want to go out on stage and apologize for being there, so you have to take the stage and do your thing, you know, and shine and do what you do until the day it closes, you know, so I think of it as a superpower.
Now, by the way, we're talking with Capathia Jenkins, who has superpower singing and acting abilities, and you can hear them and see them at Birdland on West 44th Street and 8th Avenue. That is happening this week, Thursday through Saturday, October 25th through the 27th, because she'll be there with Louis Rosen to release their album Phenomenal Woman, the Maya Angelou Songs, which, by the way, you can get...
Hey!
What's the matter? What?
I said, yay.
Oh, yay, yay, yes, indeed, yay. From Ditone Records. Also, you can find out more about that from CapafiaJenkins.com. Is for all things Capafiesque. You can find out there. But you told us a little bit about, singing for Burt Bacharach, and you told us about when you auditioned for the Civil War. How was the audition for Caroline or Change?
Oh, that was fun. You know, my agent called and said, you're going in to audition for the radio. And I said, what? And he was like, they just want to hear like a 60s kind of, soulful R&B kind of thing. So I went in, I sang Till You Come Back to Me, Aretha Franklin tune, God Rest Her Soul, Aretha Franklin tune for George C. Wolfe and Jeanine Tesori and Tony Kushner. And my agent called and said, Mazel Tov, booked the role of the washing machine, not the radio, the washing machine. I said, what? No idea what was happening. And so when I got in there, the first thing we did was down at the Public Theater, and they had just written the first act. And I fell in love, not with just the piece, but the entire process, and being in a room with Jeanine and Tony Kushner and George Wolfe. It was just like, sort of sitting at the feet of these great, great creators. Creative team. So it was amazing. And then by the time we came back for the second act, Jeanine had said to all of us, I was writing it with your voices in my head. And I was like, how amazing is that?
No.
So great. So great. So I was just so honored. And just, I moved down at the Public Theater before we moved to Broadway. I think we all knew it was something special. It was, we were getting extended after extension, and then we got the news that we were moving uptown. So it was great. And then after we ran on Broadway, not very long, and then closed and went to the West Coast. We did the Amundsen Theater in Los Angeles and the Kern Theater in San Francisco. So we all had some more time to play together because
yeah.
That cast is, we're really like a family. That was a great experience.
Now, I'm a little curious also, unlike the Civil War, which was sort of a collection of songs that were pre-written and already on a CD, and the Bacharach David songbook, this was a brand new musical that was being created at the Public while you were in it. Was there was it the kind of thing in the first week of previews or in the rehearsal that every day you'd have to forget one song and learn a new one, or this was cut and this was moved around?
Yes, it was very much like that. And, we joked about it after we did the cast recording. We were like, oh, my God, Jeanine, there's, so many outtakes. We could do a whole nother CD. You know what I mean? It was really happening like that. Cutting and, whole songs were going, and we were putting in new songs. I mean, it was a real road to opening.
Now, another show, this is kind of interesting because you were in a couple of shows that, hopes were high and they didn't do that well. And then there was another show where they kept the expectations kind of low. Disney had this musical. It was a cult movie. It was actually a flop movie, but became something of a cult. And they said, let's bring this to the stage and we'll run it for a couple of months and we'll see how it goes. It was called Newsies. And yet, very different story. Tell.
It was crazy. I'll tell you, they did it at Paper Mill Playhouse, and I wasn't in that. And then they were coming to Broadway, and I got cast as Meta Larkin. They were looking for a woman who could sort of be this nurturing person to the lead character, Jack Kelly. And I got this role, and I remember when they were on The View, when they were making the announcement that they were going to go to Broadway, and they, the boys danced I think, Seize the Day. And then Jeremy came out and sang a little bit of Santa Fe. And I sat on my couch saying, now this is good. You know, this is like an all-time musical. This looks like this is going to be good. And then fast forward, I'm in it. My agent said it's just a limited engagement. It's going to run a few months, and it'll open and close, and it'll go on the road. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. And we opened, and it was like, oh, my gosh. It was like this phenomenon. I mean, we would come out, and the kids would be screaming and lining up for autographs and selfies, and it was crazy. It was crazy, 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 and I loved every minute of it. And I say to people all the time, working that show, it was like the happiest place on earth, at theater. It was so many young people making their debuts, and it just sort of reminded me of the magic of Broadway. And so I loved going to work every single day. I loved that experience. It was great.
Oh, good. And it was also a really good show. Very enjoyable,
yes.
Well-written, well-crafted. We're talking, by the way, about Newsies, the Broadway musical, which featured Kapathia Jenkins. Now, here's something. We talked a little bit before about a stereotype of sorts, like the big black woman who comes out and sings the gospel number and so forth. But even now, there are certain expectations of roles that you will play or roles that you won't get or will never get. You were a Drama Desk nominee, unless I'm greatly mistaken, for playing the role of someone who found the role years ago, but on some level is now vilified for doing it. And of course, I'm talking about Hattie McDaniel. You did an off-Broadway piece called Understanding Mammy, the Hattie McDaniel story.
Misunderstanding Mammy.
Well, is it Misunderstanding Mammy?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, I don't misunderestimate me on that. Forgive me. It's Misunderstanding Mammy, the Hattie McDaniel story. So did you come to, how do you feel about her and what actors like her and Step and Fetch It had to do back in the day?
You know, yeah, she famously said that she would rather play a maid than be one. You know, what I feel about all of those people from back in the day is that I feel like they did what they thought they had to do. And, you know, because they did that, I don't have to. You know, so it really is a luxury to be able to say, oh, I would have never done that, or how could they do that, or I think you do the best you can with what you have and what's out there. You know, so for me, yeah, I think they did the best that they could with what they had, and you know, time goes on, and then you know we protest and we open our mouths and we show up, and you know things get better and things change, you know, and in a lot of ways there's still work to be done on that front, you know, we're not Step and Fetch It today, but you know. We're not necessarily, you know, it wasn't but 5 minutes ago, before, you know, that we were complaining about the Oscars were too white, or, you know, there's as much as things change and grow, there is still more room to change and grow. So.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the entertainment industry, in my opinion, way too Jewish. I'm kidding, of course. Just joking here.
Jewish.
Couple more questions for Kapathia Jenkins here. And so what else did I want to ask you and talk to you about? So do you still, have you been auditioning for other Broadway or off-Broadway shows? Do you do workshops of things? Or are you concentrating specifically on music and concerts that you do?
Well, I have been concentrating mostly on concert work and symphony work in particular. I've been singing a lot of Ella Fitzgerald. Last year was her centennial, and you know she's loved all around the world. And so I've been, you know, burning up the frequent flyer miles and traveling all over the world singing Ella, which I love to do. You know, there are times when something, you know, piques my curiosity, and I'll go and do a reading of something. or something like that. But I have not been focused on theater. I think that I'm not, I don't say that I'll never do theater again, but it certainly has to be something that challenges me and makes me feel accomplished on the other side. So, you know, those roles for me are few and far between. I'd like to say that I think there's a a composer and a writer, you know, writing my role right now. They're somewhere creating it. The role that's sort of going to bring me back to Broadway. We'll see.
So when people come to see you, though, at, as we said, you'll be in Pittsburgh and Seattle and a bunch of other places, and, of course, at Birdland from October 25th to 27th, what are they going to, will it be only Maya Angelou, or are you going to throw in some Ella and some other stuff as well?
Well, for Birdland, October 25th, 26th, 27th, all at 7 p.m., those shows are all about the new CD, Phenomenal Woman, the Maya Angelou songs. That is what those shows are. It's a celebration to release that CD, specifically on October 26th. And that's with Louis Rosen, and we are coming to Birdland with a full six-piece band. It's so exciting, and we're playing the Birdland Theater, which is their new space downstairs. So that's all Maya Angelou songs. And then when people come to see me in Pittsburgh and Seattle and Santa Barbara and all that, those shows, Pittsburgh will be a hodgepodge of different songs. I'll be singing some songs from the theater and some songs from a patriotic song and all that. And then Seattle is all about the holidays. I'll be there in December.
Oh.
So, yes, some holiday music. And this will be my third or fourth time with the Seattle Symphony. I'm really excited.
Now, do I have to beg you to do one Hanukkah song? I mean, you say the holidays, but we know what that really means. We know that's going to be da-da-da, wonderful sight, da-da-da, walking with delight. You know, I don't want Rudolph the goddamn reindeer. Something Jewish. One song, please.
I have to say, I do not have a Jewish song in my repertoire. I don't.
Well, it's dreidel. That's the easy. We can do dreidel.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's Here Come Hanukkah. There's a couple. You can find one.
I'm sure we could find one.
All I'm saying is it would be nice, because I am sure a good portion of your audience is going to be of my tribe. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of missing foreskins in that concert.
You know, those holiday shows that they do with symphonies are so, you know, they really are inclusive. So the orchestra will play something, or I just won't be singing the Jewish songs. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so those shows are full of all kinds of holiday music.
Well, that still sounds like a whole lot of fun. Last question for the delightful Capathia Jenkins. Speaking of songs, do you have one or two or three? I know it's impossible to narrow down. But all-time favorite songs, either ones that you sing or ones that you don't sing but you just love.
Oh, boy. You know what song I love? I see trees of green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. That's one of my favorites.
Wow. What a wonderful world it is where we can be serenaded by Capathia Jenkins. And you can get like an hour and a half of that if you go. Well, I mean, it won't be that song because she'll be doing Maya Angelou stuff. But it's at Birdland on West 44th Street, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, October 25th through the 27th. Louis Rosen, we can't leave him out because he's Jewish. He will be there also on the piano. They'll be doing with a six-piece band, Phenomenal Woman, the Maya Angelou songs. Check her website, also CapathiaJenkins.com, for where she will be appearing and all her other musical releases. It just remains for me to say what a delight it has been to have you in the neighborhood, Capathia, and shalom to you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Saul Solomon. I just absolutely adored speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, and shalom.